was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
All right, welcome to the podcast, everybody. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is King at Jeromny. He is Ski at TSB Ski. Hop up in the chat, talk some shit if you want. We are on Twitch, twitch.tv/abrog87. Also on the YouTubes, also on the podcasts, all that good stuff. I literally just had to tell Ski and King to shut the fuck up because we're about to start and they're firing off the absolute hottest Dana Altman takes you've ever heard in your life. Because right now, as we're recording, 7:30 on a Thursday night, Oregon is getting their asses handed to them in Boulder.
Dude, this is a lot. We were freaking debating Laffy Taffy.
Like, yeah, flavor. What are you talking about?
What the hell are you like? I said banana's trash, and Ski said it's the best flavor. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, first of all, I don't believe you because you're the one holding the banana flavored Laffy Taffy. So
well, that's why I'm saying it's trash, because my kid was like, "Oh, you want a Laffy Taffy?" And I was like, "No, I do not," because it's a banana. And Ski went into full like Superman mode. Was like, "Oh, I think banana's a really good flavor."
Erroneous.
I do think banana's a good flavor, though.
See? There
Nutsian,
you go.
Nutsian in the chat says Oregon should hire the Wes Lynn head coach and replace Dan Altman. What do you think, Ski? Do you want me to out the take you just had off air, or do you want to bring it to the table yourself?
Because I'm starting to believe in the take I had.
It's a bad take.
Have you been watching this team? I brought up the question because, you know, basketball was never my main sport, right? I don't know how much offensive influences coaches have on teams. I mean, it's not like football where it's like, you know, that offense is really dictated on, you know, the coordinator, with the play calls. Because Cristobal's offense was boring. That made the offense boring. You bring in an OC, that's exciting. The offense gets a little more exciting. I was saying.
Time out real quick. In 2021, the Oregon Ducks led the Pac-12 in total offense under Mario Cristobal. In 2022, they were fifth in total offense. Just time in.
But they were not exciting at all. But we're going back on what Anthony Brown was like the best quarterback in the last like decade. Is that
statistically,
is that what we're going on?
Yeah. He was very efficient.
You're trying to tell me Anthony Brown and Tyler Shuck weren't efficient ball moving quarterbacks? Is that what
Tyler Shuck was the most efficient Pac-12 passer in the COVID year. Just saying.
It's easy when you don't throw a pass more than 5 yards.
When you play four games.
And you play four games. Back to Altman. I think he's the Cristobal. His offense is boring. The bullshit three-man weaves at the top of the three-point line. But again, the problem mostly, though, is this team sucks.
By the way, on your take, Will Richardson is absolutely Anthony Brown. 1,000%.
I wouldn't say Richardson's efficient.
He's gonna finish the season and his career with like these really nice numbers. Like on paper, he's gonna look like he was really good and like played really well for Oregon. It was like a huge contributor for his whole career. But like people who actually watched him are kind of like, oh man.
Listen, I'm just saying, Anthony Brown is one hit to the head Tyler Huntley away from playing in the playoffs. Will Richardson, I don't see that happening. Gotta be honest.
No. But
he's going to be a South Bay Laker for life, and good for him. That's a sweet living.
Good life.
Kind of. But good weather. But, yeah, he ain't facing the Bengals in the divisional round this year.
No, are you giving the Ravens a shot with Anthony Brown in a quarterback?
Fuck no.
Absolutely not. Who are they going to be?
I don't give a shot with Tyler Huntley either.
No. What, are they going to beat the Chiefs? Get the fuck out of here!
I don't. I even think with Lamar, they're not winning a game.
Correct.
Especially Lamar is still somehow not back, unless he had some sort of setback. I thought he was supposed to be back like 2 weeks ago. Still not practicing.
That is the correct opinion. Now, before we move on to NFL, because we have a lot to talk about with the NFL, finish your take on Dana Altman.
I'm sick of these Altman offenses. King brought it up off air that his offenses are so dictated on having that one guy. And they haven't had that guy since 1 year of Pritchard. And then the great team when he actually had a good all-around team with a good guy like Dylan Brooks. I don't know if it's because of Altman's kind of hard-assness, I would guess, that he kind of doesn't get these guys. I feel like he tries to get good team guys as opposed to getting that one like stud guy. But we'll see next year because they got like three top 30 picks coming in.
Whatever the hell that means.
You never know. Dana gets 5 stars and they average 7 points a game. So
Ware's pretty good this year, in fairness.
Because I do think Ware might be on Dana's bad side a little bit because he is kind of trying to play outside of this Dana
100%.
System. 100%. Yes, he is.
100%.
Because honestly, I like Guerrier. He's not good. Him and Soares are not good. They're terrible shooters. And you can't have and Will is just not good enough to carry dead weight shooters. And Rigsby's just not there. I mean, he's only a sophomore, so maybe he'll get better.
Is he the white guy?
He's the white guy.
My guy, it boggles my mind that you pay for season tickets for this basketball team.
Does anything else boggle except for a mind?
I mean, boggle itself, the game. Boggle, 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 boggle.
Oh, boggle. Is that a bubble boy?
Yeah.
Bubble boy play boggle?
Yeah.
Basically. Is a contraption that, like, tosses the dice up? Is that the boggle?
Yeah.
Or is it making the words, trying to make the words the boggle?
It pops up and shakes the dice or whatever. That's exactly right. There we go.
But to your point, I have season tickets because King brought it again off air. Dana's going to win 20 games still somehow every year. And usually these kind of teams, they have a chance at the end to make a run. But like, especially this year, I've missed a lot of games this year because the team's not exciting. They play dog shit teams. I didn't go to a ton of games.
So you're just hanging on for the ride until they eventually make that run in late January, mid-February.
But let's be real. I buy the cheapest season tickets you could possibly buy. And then
I've seen your season tickets, good sir.
I walk down, and that's where I sit.
My man.
This guy.
We were arm-in-arm against SMU last year, and these were...
Them Stangs?
Them Stangs. Quincy Guerrier's best game of his Oregon career.
Oh, well, I'll throw this out there, too. This is interesting. So, went to the game there on New Year's Eve against the Beavs. We had a family friend in town. Her son, who, grew up with my younger brother all his life, lives across the street from Kilkenny's sister-in-law. They get chatting out and says, "Hey,
come out. Do you need breaking news sound?
So she gives these little passes to the Kilkenny suites.
Ooh, baby.
I didn't know those were even a thing. I've only been down in the depths of there's the poor rich people's club, and then there's like the rich people side. So I hand my thing in. I was like, "Oh, does this?" I assumed it's got me into the founders area. He's like, "Oh, let me show you to the area. Go down this like hallway behind the founders club, and there's like 4 little tiny suites back there. Just
whoa,
leather chairs and cool." I was like, "I didn't know this was here." And I was like, "Bro, this is."
Bro, I gotta be honest. That sounds like a grotto, dude. that sounds like an orgy den. I'm sorry. They got an orgy den in Matt Knight Arena?
They got 4 down there.
4 orgy dens in Matt Knight Arena.
There's 4 of them.
There's
our version of the Forum Club.
I was like, I guess if you get the court named after you, I guess you get an orgy den down there. But I went down there with my girlfriend.
Real quick, did they let you guys like design your own shoe while you're down there or something?
Tinker's like on. They like pick up a phone and you like directly to Tinker to make your own shoe. So
they got a phone with like a bunch of scribbles on it, and that's Tinker's phone.
Yeah,
I like it.
But my question was, I was like, the game's getting ready to start. We leave here, right? I mean, there's no tailgating for basketball, right?
there a TV in there?
Oh, there's a big ass TV.
Oh, yeah, a little closed circuit. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. But I was like, because I saw all the Richies out there in the Founders Club. You know, they're there for like 30 minutes before eating like fancy open bar buffet food and shit like that. And I was just like,
do you mean rich people or the Richies? You got to be more specific.
Well, aren't they both?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. But we got to know who we're talking about here.
I don't know. The people that are separated by glass and two dudes standing in front of the doorway to enter. Jesus. That level of people.
You realize what they normally put on that TV, right? It's not basketball games. I'm just saying.
But there was.
Did you have an orgy at Matt Knight Arena, Ski?
And a lot of people are wearing weird, like, long-nosed masks and stuff, so I don't know.
Is there some Matt Lubick hanging around down there?
Matt Lubick! Oh, it's a great joke.
How far away is that sex den from, like, the Founders and MacArthur Club or whatever it's called? I've been to the poor one. Where they're like, here's popcorn and some room temperature barefoot beverages, Pepsi. Yeah.
I love it. It's like cement walled room, like with chairs and tables in it. and it's got stale popcorn.
It's just like a session stand you find like up on the concourse and down there. So the Founders Club is like directly across from that place.
Really?
And then there's a step. So. Yeah, it's separated by this big glass door area. And then there's a smaller little door off to the side that takes you to these suites. I was just like, all right. This is how people live. Cool.
Booble says Matt Lubick and Matt Kearney in an orgy at Matt Knight. It's perfect. It sells itself. That sort of ties into our list later, by the way. would you pay for something like that? How many times would you try for an orgy with Matt Lubick and Matt Kearney and Matt Knight? Oh boy. Okay, so yeah, we do got our list coming up later. We have Kings. He promised to do his fantasy football update, like his final FFF final fantasy football update. He's gonna do it whether he's ready for it or not. And then we have oh, by the way, the movie this week for Sunday, the movie is Willow. So the TV show is on Disney Plus, and Ski decided to make us watch Willow this week, and we're going to talk about it. So
I haven't seen it in 30 years. So
same here, man. Same here. I watched it with my kid. So listen on Sunday to hear us.
Disagree. Whole time I'm watching that, I'm going, Ski, you idiot.
Oh, and those are the hot takes and the perfect impersonations you can listen to on Sunday.
Watching it, I was, after like an hour, I was definitely mad, Mortigan.
It's Mortigan.
Whatever. I don't know.
No, I'm not going to correct you on that because that would make me a dork.
Yeah, Mortigan?
Not a dork. I'm not a dork.
Maybe it's like Dan Magadan. Go Mets.
God, what a great little slap hitter he was. Ultimate little Punch and Judy.
Oh, man. Early 90s baseball. Where is Dan Gladden when you need him?
You know what, podcast listener and viewer? What you come here for is the...
Jeff Blauser talk.
Is the random-ass 80s, 90s baseball player drops. Like,
Have you ever seen the little, I don't know if it's a meme or it's just like a post on Twitter. It's like, guys could spend just 5 hours just naming old baseball players.
Ah, oh, Mark Lemke.
And nothing even bringing up to him, just the name.
Hippolardo Pacino.
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Yeah.
Should we do?
No.
No, so we do like the special edition emergency podcast for Duck Games after they leave.
Kevin Apier.
Should we like this summer, we do our stream where all we do for like 3 hours is just name old baseball players?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Old Bob Tewksbury. Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We need to like sell tickets to that shit. That's going to be the biggest thing we ever do. all right.
Bob Tewksbury. I feel like he's a little too old for us.
He was in the 80s.
Was he?
It's like, yeah, that's like early 80s though. Tewksbury. All right. So obviously the big story this week was the Damar Hamlin thing on Monday. So did you guys, were you guys watching the game when it all went down?
I had it on and I was cooking dinner. So I was keenly, well, because selfishly, like the number one seed, you know, whatever, my Chiefs.
Yeah.
I was keenly aware. And I saw something and I went, brains are scrambled, par for the course. And then after like 4 minutes, like, what's really happened? And then I'm starting to pay attention. So I missed, like, I even missed the initial replay of him standing up and then falling back down.
I was going to say, yeah, because I missed it live as well. And then I saw, I had to look, find it on Twitter, like the replay of it. Yeah, that fall was not a brain scramble fall.
No, no.
So it,
once you saw the fall, you were like, oh, that's a cardiac. This, like, is very that bad. Is a heart. That is or, different, and that is bad.
Yeah, or like an aneurysm kind of thing. Yeah, something right. like yeah. immediate like that. But yeah, I was the same as you where I missed the play, and I was like, yeah, another brain scramble guy. Just got his clock cleaned kind of thing.
Well, I had it on and was sort of paying attention. And so, like, I saw Higgins, you know, hit him, and I saw everybody go down. And then I sort of just, I saw the play, but I just, like, was like, okay, just normal NFL play. And then sort of stopped paying attention because why the fuck would I care about this football game other than it's just, it's a good game between two good teams. So I just had it on. And then I went to something else, came back like after a commercial break, because they did a long commercial break, and then they came back and everybody was sort of like gathered around, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I must have missed something on that hit because, you know, it didn't look crazy, but
it was,
it was a below average
hit. I believe it was not hard.
Well, like, and so then they showed the replay, which I think was the only time they showed it because they didn't really realize how serious it was yet. And so they showed the replay and, like, you see him get up and then just sort of collapse and fall on his back, like really limp. And you're just like, oh, shit, that's not good. That's not a concussion. That is not, you know, that's not normal. And then you see shots of, like, players freaking out and crying and stuff. And you're like, Jesus Christ, what's happening? And, you know, I remember the Christian Eriksen thing. So, like, this got brought up a lot. Christian Eriksen, the soccer player, like, he had a very similar thing happen where he had a heart attack on the field. They, you know, took him in an ambulance. They took him away. By the way, they finished that game like 45 minutes later, which is still kind of crazy. But that's just what they do in sports, apparently. And I remember once, it had to be like 10 years ago.
In fairness to that.
Sure.
They only resumed it once they got news from the hospital that he was like, okay.
Yeah.
And it was still weird, but context layers,
yes,
I guess.
Absolutely. So then I remember, like, it happened in the Premier League like 10 or 15 years ago. I was watching a game where a similar thing happened where the guy ended up being okay. Like, they found out a couple hours later or something like that, that he was fine. But, well, yeah.
This reminded me of, was it, that was in the 80s, what, Reggie Lewis?
Early 90s. Early 90s, yeah.
Where he's, yeah, this he one reminded like, me he of. He was, like, running, and then he sort of, like, collapsed, right? He slowly collapsed and fell over, yeah.
Yeah, because I, like I said, the Christensen thing, I don't even think I ever saw the replay of it or anything, so.
There's not really much to see. Like, he just sort of collapsed, no, and that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so
that one was tough. Like, visually, that one was tough because ESPN, it was on ESPN.
It was really far away.
And they had no control over the feed. It was like the Euro whatever federation feed. So for a few minutes, you see Christian Eriksen, you're like, oh, he's dead.
He's a dead person on the field.
Yeah. He's a dead person. And then everyone formed the wall. But for a few minutes, you were like, oh, shit. I literally just watched someone die, which was a thought that crossed my mind on Monday night, too.
It was.
But you didn't see it because everyone kind of rushed in and ESPN was like, this is our feed. Yeah. We're not showing you Skycam here. We're pulling back everything.
We'll show you Tua getting his brain rattled, I don't know, 20 different times from different angles, but At least we know where ESPN draws the line at here.
A dead person they will not show.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is a different conversation, too. And I think even if ESPN really wanted to, it wasn't going to happen. Like the players, the staff, they weren't going to let it happen. And, I know this has been said a billion times at this point, but, you know, the way it was handled by everyone involved pretty much was really good. So the people on the field, obviously you got to give a lot of credit to like the medical personnel and stuff like that. There was like an assistant trainer who went out there and sort of knew exactly what to do, sort of took charge and was like, we need to do CPR. Like, this is something different. And, you know, administered CPR on the field. And then they were taking him off. They were putting him in the ambulance and then they had to take him back down and like get his heart going again or something like that. I'm pretty sure that's sort of the timeline.
I assume they got it going again.
Yeah.
And then try to move him. And then, yeah.
And then they did the CPR thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was reverse. Yeah. But, you know, everybody around and knowing sort of exactly what to do, the fact that they were able to get the ambulance out there quickly, every NFL stadium is close to a hospital, essentially. And so the fact that they were able to get to the hospital within a couple of minutes basically was, you know, basically saved his life. I mean, what everybody did on the field and then the quickness in which they were able to do it saved his life. You got to give him credit.
Well,
and then the TV broadcast. I mean, I have no idea what you're supposed to do in that situation. But, you know, like going to commercial a whole bunch, that's what you do. You have to do it because there's nothing else you can do other than sit there and just say the same things over and over again. Like, we don't know what's going on. Like, we're scared too. This is really weird. There's only so many times you can say that. And so I feel like the way they sort of handled it, they went back to the studio to Booger and Schefter and Culber, which was sort of weird. Like,
Booger was shook.
Yeah, he was.
He was, which is,
it was appropriate.
Fine. I'm not. Yeah, it's totally appropriate. I'm not trying to mock him.
Yeah, and then I think like the real like stars is the wrong way to put it, but like the stars of the night in terms of coverage was Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Clark, because they did their entire SportsCenter show, first of all, starting like an hour and a half early, but doing the entire show just talking about this was. And Ryan Clark, you know, being sort of the only person really equipped to have this discussion and talk about it, being in that position and the way he eloquently put it and shared his experience and, you know, what it means to be an NFL player and what, you know, sort of goes into the decision making to do what they do. But then also, you know, so just sort of sharing his mind state and what it means is, man. He was incredible, like Ryan Clark. I don't think I've seen anybody who has said anything other than that. So just
no, but
props to everybody who, you know, Buck and Aikman, like they're Buck and Aikman. So what are they going to do? But, you know, they did their job.
But pretty much your whole goal there in that situation is don't be Skip Bayless there.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only thing. Just don't make it about like football. It's about the person in that situation.
Yeah.
And Skip kind of missed it on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. You said everyone, I don't know if it was the officials that said, hey, you got 5 minutes to like get warmed up, or if that was Goodell and like the NFL saying to them, like, hey, like get him going.
I mean, from Buck and Aikman to the Westwood One call on the radio to Univision or whatever it was, they were all told there's a 5 minute warm up period. Now, could that just be proper protocol? Like, I think they're trying to spin it. Maybe. But Buck and Aikman, man, they were not backing down when the NFL was like, we didn't say that. They're like, listen,
yeah.
It got to our headphones. Somebody said it. That's all we're saying. And three separate networks all got the 5 minute memo. And boy, that's pretty fucking callous. I mean,
well, and again, I think you're right in your
look, a banana Laffy Taffy. Don't mind if I do.
Yeah, yeah, the best flavor.
Pretty good. I think, by far.
I think it was definitely the NFL who said that, and I think you're right in your thought that they didn't. I don't think anybody really knew the severity of the situation until. You know,
they had to have known
until 5 or 10 minutes in, like until they're doing like the CPR and they're doing like the AEG thing. Like nobody I mean, knows until they. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? The official on the field or what? Like, how does that work?
They have eyes and ears all over the place there to say like, hey, they're shocking this guy's heart or giving him CPR. And that was within, I think, like 3 minutes
right.
of everything that was already happening. Like, they knew, but the question, like, there is the level, like, what was it? Like, Shazier getting, like, paralyzed there. They came back from that probably within the same thing, like, that's, like, the 5 minute break. But if someone's dead on the field and gets resuscitated, and I mean, it's a coin flip, probably, I bet the numbers say it's a coin flip that this guy survives. You have to have limitations on, like, he said, your callousness. You got to know when to draw the line, like, hey, take your time here.
And like,
we'll figure this shit out.
And I realize the NFL doesn't need a devil's advocate. I realize that. But I'm saying this is not something, and that's right. Something Ryan Clark talked about a whole bunch. He's like, we're not equipped to deal with this situation. We have never had to deal with this situation before. There's no protocol for it. There's like no, you know, so I'm just saying like, I understand,
you're the NFL. You have to have a protocol in this already. I mean, you're a billion dollar business.
You should have one. Yes.
You have. Yes. And especially in a violent contact sport where people have gotten paralyzed before, kind of thing. And death could happen.
So are we, so we're thinking the teams. So the way it looked is the Bills and the Bengals decided to not play the game, right? Like that's the way it looks. Like they went back to the locker room. Like, so the coaches, like the officials weren't really involved or anything like that. So the coaches sort of walked up to each other, had a discussion, and then they're like, okay, we're going back to the locker room. We're going back to the locker room. Like nobody else was involved in that decision. Like they told the refs, like, hey, we're gonna go back to the locker room and take a few minutes and blah blah blah. And then later on, you see the shots of the locker room where they're sort of outside talking to each other too. And, you know, what you hear from McDermott later on, it's like, yeah, the players decided they weren't going to come out. And so I mean, this was not the NFL.
That's making
this, this was not the NFL making this decision. This was the players and the coaches, right? Like they weren't going to play anymore. Like, if the NFL had their way, they probably would have eventually played, right?
If it was up to the NFL, they probably would have gave the Bengals the win. Because I bet it was mostly, you know, at first it was the Bills saying, hey, we're not playing, our guy's down. And then it, you know, would have taken the Bengals coach to be like, yeah, I agree with you, but they brought it up. That's how I would have seen the NFL doing it. With the player saying they're not coming back out. It's like, all right, you guys forfeit, essentially. It's a forfeiture.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, but that would just, I mean, NFL owners and, you know, the NFL, it's already not like a great look to them from this. That would have just made it a million times worse.
I think like putting blame on people in this situation is sort of like, I don't know if it's really necessary, you know, like I feel like we like obviously take shots at the NFL as much as you want. Like they're, you know, it's a fucking blood sport that they profit off of. It's, you know, insane that, you know, that the health of the players has always come secondary. But in this situation, it's something we've never experienced before. And should they, you know, have figured it out quicker? Probably. I think in the end, like all the right decisions were made and everything happened the way it should have.
They just like to shoot from the hip too fast sometimes, the NFL.
Yeah.
Just take a little time and assess it for a second.
Yeah.
And then make decision. Don't be like, hey, you got 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes. Let's go.
Okay, so the Skip Bayless thing, because Booble said it in the chat too. So I'm going to read you the tweet because I saw the tweet and I saw everybody, you know, quote tweeting it, saying he's, you know, heartless, callous, blah blah blah, all the things. And you know, normally I'm very on board with the fuck Skip Bayless all the live long day. I'm just going to read it to you. So it says, "No doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of the game, but how? This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome, which suddenly seems so irrelevant." I don't get it. Like, I don't get what the problem is with that tweet.
Because it was 17 minutes after a guy is laying on the ground. So it's just the timing.
So he's asking,
next morning.
Worry about it on Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. Worry about it on Tuesday.
So don't
it's just the timing.
Don't even bring it up.
It's just the timing.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything football involved was meaningless at this point.
Yes.
That's the point to it.
But that's what he said.
It's the person.
That's what he said, though.
But it's Skip Bayless.
Don't care about it.
Yeah. Okay. But literally he said all of that bullshit seems irrelevant because the guy is laying out on the field.
So, okay. So it is now we're going into Friday tomorrow. They haven't figured out any of that stuff. So why say it on Monday before he's on a stretcher?
Sure.
That's the point.
Okay. Okay. Just
like, if he says it Tuesday morning to lead off the show, no one cares. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Okay. He's 100% correct on the logistics.
Just wait.
Like, it's just the timing.
It's the same thing with the NFL. It's like, just wait.
And the fact that he was the first, you know, like blue, you know, I'm sure, you know, Jerry in Jersey had fantasy football shit writing on it and said something to, you know, that effect. But he's the guy with, you know, 3 million followers. He's the first blue check mark to just be like, this is my space.
Yeah. So
not off the field yet. Let's worry about logistics. That's what it was. And Skip Bayless hasn't earned, you know, any sort of benefit of the doubt there. I'm trying to think of if Colin Cowherd said it, he's somewhat polarizing, but he's not Skip Bayless. Some people will call him a dumb shit, but he could probably get away with it. It's just the Skip Bayless was like, you want to know? I'm not wrong, but I'm just going to be the first one to go out and say it. That's what it was.
Okay. Just trying to be the first to everything?
Like people be like, he should be fired. Like, that's dumb. He has said a bazillion worse things, you know, like directly than that. But it was just the timing.
Yeah, but you're saying the timeline of it was like Benny 123 like Skyhawk complaining about his fantasy team,
right?
And then it was Skip, and then it was the anti-vaxxers that kind of came in right after Skip. That was the progression of probably about an hour length of since that happened.
You know, I don't want to know what they were saying. I don't know what you're talking about, and I kind of don't want to know because that.
Oh, you should know what I'm talking about because they bring it up all the time.
All I saw is that Tuesday was like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity all let off their shows with a half an hour block of being like, was the vaccine the reason? Yeah.
The thing is the thing I've seen every time is they bring up this stat of like 1,000 and some odd people have died in, you know, they're saying players have died since 2020
The John Stockton thing, right? John Stockton literally blaming the vaccine for like athletes dying, and then they're not being any actual statistics to support what he's saying.
Someone went through it all because there has been like 1,000 and some odd deaths, but like 70% of them are people over 50. They're like coaches and stuff. Then they also have there's like suicides in there, like drug overdoses. And it honestly, it kills their entire agenda there. If they would stick to, because I guarantee there probably is some people that got a heart condition from the vax. There's a possibility of that. But, you know, that number is so small, they lose all credibility by saying, oh, this 70-year-old guy had a heart attack. Yeah, it was from the vax.
Well, and like what's funny is because you mentioned Michelle Tafoya. So before this game even started on Monday, Michelle Tafoya, you know, she has her own podcast now. It's politically uncorrect or something hackneyed like that. And she had John Stockton on. And he's rambling off these stats about professional, like professional athletes, not college, not high school, professional athletes that have died because of the vaccine. And he starts rambling off these numbers, like 3,100. And Tafoya is like, well, where do you get these numbers from? And he can't answer. She's doing like journalist stuff, pushing back on him. And he keeps saying it. She's like, well, like John, with all due respect, like you're not citing anything. So we're not endorsing that number, right? Okay. Fast forward like 8 hours, the Hamlin thing happens. Tuesday morning, she's on the radio with, I believe, Sean Hannity. And what is she quoting? The Stockton. John Stockton statistics. Because it's not her show. Her name is not on it, but she is now quoting the things 18 hours earlier on her own platform. She's like, well, you could say that, but we're not endorsing that number. And then she does. Yeah. It's such a gross. We don't need to beat that into. We don't need to go down that road. But it's just such a gross grift. It's just
the absolute fucking worst. Is what
it's a blech.
Yeah,
it's just gross.
So yes, gross is the perfect word for it. By the way, Hamlin, if you have not heard today, awake, moving his hands and legs, able to write, still can't breathe fully on his own, so he can't.
I think he's still on the ventilator.
He is. On the ventilator, and I think last I heard it was like 50%. Was that right? And so he's getting there, but still can't talk simply because of that, because he has a thing in his throat. But he's able to write, able to respond,
answer questions, which is what they were saying is the best sign.
He asked the doctors if they won. Which is a funny story, I guess. Still a little tragic when you think about it. The first thing he asks is like, if they're in the game, man. It's like, golly, man.
Well, just go from his perspective. Let's say
the culture is so gross sometimes. But
well, just think of this. You're halfway into the first quarter. You go to make a hit. You know, the lights go out, and then you wake up. You don't know what. All you remember is making a tackle.
What happened? Did we win? Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
I was playing football. What happened here?
Yeah. God. Craziness, man. So just sort of amazing shit that he has moved so quickly in the right direction. Doctors are still saying he's in very critical condition. Obviously, if you're needing assistance breathing, you're still in very critical condition. But a week later, not even a week later, he's very much moving in the right direction. So that's good. That's good. It didn't look like it was going to go that way, man. Like really, really didn't. So just sort of amazing. WCP says doctor replied the "you won life" when he asked that question. Did we win? That's pretty good, man. So do we want to talk the practical side of things? Because like the NFL.
Well,
so now that we're.
I do have a question of that though. Yeah, because I saw the home field advantage thing came out like not that long ago, and I couldn't quite decipher. There was like seven different layers to it.
Yeah,
there's some sort of neutral field.
I have some information.
AFC championship.
Here's like a thing that. Okay, there is a scenario where the Cincinnati Bengals do not play a home game in the playoffs.
No matter what.
No matter what. There is a scenario where if they tie with the Ravens, it goes to a coin flip and they could play in Baltimore, which is just in the playoffs, which is insane.
I can one up you there, bud. There's a scenario.
Little Tony Topper over here.
you got it there, pal. There's a scenario in which the Chiefs don't play a home game during the playoffs.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Arrowhead's overrated.
Yeah, you're gonna miss out on the
my favorite racist thing in the world. Give it to me.
Yep.
Love it.
All right. So standard playoff format. So okay, by the way, Bills, Bengals officially canceled. They threw out the game. The result doesn't matter. It's never gonna be played again. Like the game is just done.
Here, quick question though to that. Would it not be easier maybe to mitigate this if you just call it a tie and just give them you know, a point in the tie column.
But it's not a tie. And so so they're calling it like a no contest or whatever. So they're throwing their result out. So if they called it a tie, that would be just making up a result. Because the Bengals led 7-3.
They were winning. That is true.
So it's like you're just making something up. So it makes more sense to just throw the game out entirely.
So now that we know that Hamlin's okay-ish, right? Yeah. An appropriate time to say that when the Bills and Bengals get together, you can just throw the records out.
Throw the records out.
Literally throw the records out.
Not yet. I could tell by your face. Not yet. Is this on? I thought I was workshopping that in private.
Let's just read this thing here. I have a prepared statement for the situation. Let's see. So if they follow the standard playoff format, which they probably are not going to do, Kansas City beats the Raiders, they're the number one. You guys are going to beat the Raiders. Although the Raiders.
Stidham's going to light them up.
The Raiders.
Stidham's playable right now, I believe.
Yeah. The Raiders played the 49ers way too hard last week. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Why is the best defense in the NFL giving up 35 points to Jarrett Stidham? What is fucking happening? But they ended up winning in overtime, so who cares?
Do you know who you could be seeing on Saturday, King, if Stidham does in fact not play?
Oh, God. Just trying to think of some. Matt Corral. I have no idea.
Howell quarterback.
Garbers? Garbers. Garbers. Oh, I love a good Garbers brother.
Yeah.
Give me Chase Garbers or give me Dan.
Wait, do I have that sound thing on here? I used to have that app where I could do where I could do that sound. I can't find it. Forget it. Okay, so Kansas City beats the Raiders. They're the number one for sure, whatever. Bengals essentially win the North because the result was thrown out. So that's it. Like, the Ravens can't catch the Bengals now.
But that's the crap thing, is that they could play, and it would be in Baltimore on a coin flip.
Yeah. But also, the Bengals can't get the one seed. So there was, like, a scenario in which they could. But the options they're looking at, so apparently the league officials are going to meet tomorrow to actually decide sort of the playoff scenario. They're looking at a couple of things where the number one seed, Kansas City, is going to have the choice between having home field advantage or having a bye in the first round. I don't know how that would work because... So I do know how that would work. So if they decide for the home field advantage, then the number two seed would have the bye. And so they just swap off, essentially, whatever they prefer. And a bye is pretty much the simple answer, right? Like, so you're Kansas City, King. Like,
I don't think you want to risk going to Buffalo in late January just because of the weather. It's not even a team thing. I don't think you want to risk that, would be my guess.
So play an extra game against Baltimore then. Is that?
I think so.
Okay. Would that be Baltimore they would play then, would be the scenario?
I mean, it could.
New England, right?
Yeah, it could be Miami or New England, yeah.
Or Pitt. I think the Steelers are still alive.
They need some help.
They need a lot of help.
Yeah. Like, really, if Buffalo beats New England, which they should, and Miami wins with... God, who?
Skylar Thompson?
Pittsburgh might just make the playoffs. Good grief. Oh, okay.
Teddy Bridgewater with a broken finger.
Listen, I lived through a Kansas City Pittsburgh playoff game last year. I don't need to see that again. That was stinkfest.
You know who's really, really bad right now is fucking Miami. They are tragically terrible. You know what? Like, the 49ers broke the Dolphins. Like, they beat them, and since that game, they have been, well, including that game, they have been awful. Like, truly, truly terrible. Like, not even close.
Well,
I think there's been a stat on it's the game after.
They were leading, like, with, like, 5 minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah, they were doing good.
Okay.
The stats, it's the game after you play the Niners. Teams are averaging like under 10 points of offense.
Yeah, there has
because they just get so beat up by the Niners defense.
I think there's been one team this season that won a game after playing the 49ers. It's insane. Like the Niners beat up teams so bad, man. It really is nuts. And I know I'm saying this like as a Niner fan, so I'm biased, but it's a crazy stat.
No, we've said it in like on the Discord stuff. It's the body blow theory that the solid verbal has. You played Stanford 10 years ago or Navy or Army, like you might win the next week. You're probably not, but you might. And it's going to be ugly if you do.
Lost the war.
Because you are beat the hell up. It's just a thing.
I mean, you guys remember playing Churchill in that stupid wing tee?
Love a good wing tee.
Fucking hurting the following week after playing that.
As a general aside, like I don't think the wing tee really exists anymore in football, even lowest levels of high school, because just throw the ball. But I loved how part of the scheme to defend the wing tee was just send guys to dive into offensive linemen's navels every play. Like, just try and blow it up. You're not going to make a play. Just try and like blow up the guy pulling.
Because I believe it is illegal now to chop a guy like that.
You're right.
Inside the tackle.
What am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're running the wing tee. You're pretty much inside the tackle box with guys coming at you.
We were told as linebackers to take out the guards. That was it. The guards are going to tell you where the play goes. Take them out as soon as you possibly can. And you know
what?
Put them
in a body bag.
You know what that did? That got me and Brett Olsen hurt in the first quarter. You know what that did? That had us lose 72-0.
It's a mind-numbingly dumb strategy. It's why it was a great high school offense.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just
if you had the horses, nobody could stop it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody could stop them.
And then Marshall. Yeah.
I was told the other was. If you're on if you're a DB on the edge without a receiver on there, your job is just to chop down the first guy that's getting pulled your way.
What a stupid scheme!
It's the dumbest thing ever.
So dumb. Just dive into some legs, head first, and neck up.
Build some wreckage in the way to get in the way of the running back.
High school football, how funny.
Yeah, I guarantee you nobody saw the late 90s Churchill offense breakdown coming this week.
Oh, man, that 2001 team, man. Niles Mittash. Oregon walk-on.
Yeah, Oregon walk-on.
Jason Brooks. I think he's still in jail. Look,
that
was Beaver great Tim Ewis.
Yeah, my season had Ewis Tim Ewis for them, and yeah. Seth Lacy. Remember that dude too? Didn't he go to like BYU or something?
Yeah, I think he like injured himself. Like he didn't. He flamed out.
Hang on a second. You know this person, King. WCP went to Churchill?
He did.
Oh my God. Go fuck yourself, bro. He's saying I quite enjoyed that Churchill offense. We ran like half a dozen plays. Accurate. And we still couldn't stop it. Very accurate.
Yeah.
Also, fuck you. Yeah. Oh my God, there was this lineman named Washington. I forget his first name. That dude, he was an offensive lineman, and he was more athletic than anybody on our defense.
Like that like 5 or 6 years of Churchill offense was pretty funny because if you think about it, like in Oregon lore, like Jefferson basketball from late 90s to early 2000s, because mm-hmm. they sent so many guys to D1 schools. The Churchill guys, except for Tim Ewis, like they really didn't pan out, but they sent QBs to Hawaii, tight ends to Oregon State and BYU and linemen to Boise State and walk-ons at Oregon. Like they sent dudes and
they had
dudes. They weren't elite players like on that level, but they sent so many guys. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, kids got their college paid for. Which is,
yeah, absolutely.
Was it Kent Weigel? Was he the coach?
Yeah, he was Marshfield.
Marshfield. Okay, who was Churchill's coach? I'm trying to remember. Hey, that is a game. Put it in the chat.
Once someone says it, I think we'll all remember it.
Yeah. Was it Rohde was their quarterback?
Yeah, Jeff Rohde was a quarterback for sure. Yeah. Jeff
Rohde, okay.
Yeah, he went to Hawaii.
Man, these are memories.
I remember like 10 years ago seeing some like blurry YouTube of him playing baseball at Hawaii. Like, that guy had a noodle. That guy had a hose.
Booble says it was Chip Kelly. It was not Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was in the New Hampshire Mafia at that point.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the playoff scenario. So King, you're saying you would take home games over first round bye.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Well, yeah, especially Ravens, Patriots, Steelers. Yeah.
Is it Jack Wigmore?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thank you, freelibrary.com. Yeah. Jack, oh man, it's a Steve Mims byline.
Yeah, baby. Back when Mims and Mosley were high school beat writers for the Register Guard. Oh, by the way, the other scenario they're talking about kicking around is a neutral site. So going with the natural format, regular playoff format, and then having a neutral site AFC championship game.
Jack Wigmore went 53-15 at Churchill in 6 years. Just six of those losses came in the playoffs.
I experienced.
So he went 53-9 in the regular season.
I personally experienced three of those 54. They were not fun.
Good for him.
Not fun. All right, let's
neutral site could be cool, I guess. It sucks if you're a Chiefs season ticket holder and want to have an AFC championship game there. But
if it's Bills and Chiefs in Indy, that place is going to be a fucking zoo. It'll be a great atmosphere.
Yeah,
it'll probably be 55-45 Bills. It'll look like a bowl game. I think it might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like Chiefs are losing any advantage they would have, but we lived through the COVID year. We saw a Rose Bowl played in fucking Arlington, Texas in front of 10 people. So we can get through this.
Neutral fan, plus, I don't think Kansas looks great for us.
Kansas City fan, Hall of Fame coach, best quarterback in the league, good offensive line, the defensive line bats balls down. I don't think they're that elite.
McCorrell Hardman's coming back here.
I did see that.
He's coming back, baby. How about old Jerick fucking McKinnon again?
Jerry Mack. I can't wait to watch him scamper down the field at Allegiant Field and get a text on Saturday from Alex. Fucking hate that guy.
Fuck Jerick McKinnon forever and ever. By the Niners Chiefs gonna face each other in the Super Bowl this year. It's gonna happen. And Jerick McKinnon's gonna score two touchdowns against Sam.
Yes, on Wasp. Yeah. The second one will be a backbreaker on that Wasp.
Lock it up.
He's gonna have more touchdowns in the playoffs than Christian McCaffrey.
That is a prop bet.
It could be 100% real though, because the Chiefs get so many of those cheap little 1 yard. Boop. Yeah,
they have nobody else to score touchdowns other than McKinnon.
Oh, Pacheco probably get no touchdowns. It's just all McKinnon.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Kelsey will have three. Juju will have one, and McKinnon's gonna have seven in the playoffs. Yeah.
Kelsey's going to have all three against Buffalo, by the way.
Kind of how he is this year. It's kind of weird. He's starting to age a little bit.
Ooh, I like this.
He's still got like 115 catches for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. But he's not an every week guy anymore.
Travis Kelsey falling off.
He's probably first team all pro, but I'm just saying.
Probably.
You can just see the aging now. That's all I'm saying.
No, he's not as open because Tyreek's not there.
That is also a thing. Are you trying to tell me that Juju Smith-Schuster isn't busting the top off and off a defense?
Juju's not quite pulling double and triple teams like Tyreek did.
Not on the field. What I do love about Juju Smith-Schuster cracks me up.
Hang on. Let me make the Founders Room joke here. He's not having three and four ways like Ski is over there in the grotto at Matt Knight Arena. Okay, sorry.
What cracks me up about Juju is he's fine, like whatever. But we watch him at USC, and it's so funny to see a guy who was so dominant in college, and this happens all the time. And they're good in the NFL, but you're like, you're not really that special.
Like every USC wide receiver ever.
Yeah. Other than God,
was Chris Carter? Did he go to USC?
No, I think he went to Ohio State.
Yeah, you're right. He did.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you're not from Ohio State, LSU, or Alabama, you're not going to be an elite level NFL wide receiver. It seems like
Keyshawn went to USC.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He did. All right. And again, he's a funny guy because he went from bust the top off a defense in college to a possession receiver as the number one overall pick. Like right now, he would be a slot receiver and like a block, and he would double down a block guy sometimes. He's the same size as Travis Kelce, pretty much.
He's Juwan Johnson.
Yes. What a dumb God.
He plays tight end for the Saints.
1996 football was stupid.
Yep. Okay, any more NFL before we transition to some bowl talk? Because we do have some bowl talk.
Well, before we get to bowl talk,
yep,
I'm gonna bullshit my way through fantasy football talk. Hey, Alex.
That's me.
What did Mike Holmgren say about the playoffs in fantasy football?
What did he say, King?
You can't win the playoffs in round one, but you sure can lose them in round one.
You know what you got to do first is make it to round one, unlike my fucking team.
That's what they always say. I don't even know what round one, but hey, the ninth place game, Ski came through on the heels of Justin Herbert with a heroic 6 points less than he was projected and less than his opponent in Jared Goff, but he still beat my team sucks like the Buffs. In the seventh place game, me, of course, me, I got screwed. How was I in the seventh place game? But I was. I beat you, Vaughn. I beat you like the Ducks beat your Cougs, baby, on the heels of Mike White getting 10.60 points and T. Higgins. Oh, God damn it. I didn't even mean to go there. Now I'm seeing why I won that. He had T. Higgins, DeMar Chase. We'll skip that one. Vaughn, you are the seventh place winner. And I don't know how to go back on this. Oh, my God. What is going on? Oh, no. I don't know.
I finished.
There it is.
I finished fifth.
Respectable fifth.
I plead the fifth. 7-7, and I finished fifth. That's great. Do you know who won?
I do. I'm trying to get there. I don't know what I hit. I don't know how to get back to where I was. What?
Do you want me to tell you?
Oh, I know who won. Ben, Meteor of Death won. He beat Dire is Down, Chris, but I can't see the scores anymore. I don't know where they went. Hey, Charlie, the sun got Hurts and the sun went down on your team. Ha, ha, ha. Jalen Hurts, no MVP for you and no Fantasy Football League championship for you. Garoppolips now. I don't know. I don't care. Is your avatar the guy who rubs his nipple from the Adam Sandler movie?
I guess so.
That's all I have, and this was your TSB FFL Championship League breakdown. I try to get back. I don't know what's going on. I got an ad for Farmers Only.
Hey, man. Some sensual farmers. Hey. There you go. Sweet Meteor of Death beat Dire was down 150.98. to 134.10. There's your final score. I didn't play in the playoffs.
He's mailing you a trophy. Get a hold of him.
Yeah, just, you know, reach out to Yahoo for that. I mean, you know, just Yahoo will figure it out. It'll be good. Okay, then. And that was your
TSBFFL season finale update.
We did it. That was WCP who started that league, right?
It was.
It was. Thank you for that, by the way. That was fun throughout the year. So let's do that again next year. And, you know, Yeah, it was cool. Thank you. Okay. Do you want to do keep or kick or talk Bulls? Let's talk.
I mean, just the playoffs or all the Bulls?
Let's talk Bulls. Let's specifically talk Big Ten Bulls, because USC and UCLA. Guys, King gets up right when we're about to talk about USC and UCLA. USC blew a lead. UCLA blew a lead. Also, Utah got blown out in the Pac-12. So, like, obviously, that last one's a Pac-12 school. But in terms of Big Ten, Michigan lost the close one. Ohio State lost the close one. So,
wait. I'm pleased. All of those games all swung my way in all my bets.
So your bets are okay. Yeah.
So I'm doing just fine with especially the USC, because I had Tulane.
You picked Tulane to win?
I did.
Yo. Was that any sort of like parlay or just like straight up Tulane to win?
No, it was just straight up. It was just, okay. I thought Caleb Williams was a little, I thought he was a little more dinged up than he actually was. And I thought they didn't care to be there, so.
Well, Williams had a great
green wave,
but the USC defense continued to be awful. And so, what was it? They got outscored 32-17 in the second half, man.
That safety, I was like, oh boy, we're right here, baby. We're in it, baby.
Yeah, the safety was pretty good indicator, yeah.
I think Tulane had like five completions up until that point, too.
Tulane had 539 yards of total offense, 305 rushing yards. Yeah. That's incredible, USC. Yeah.
Didn't they average like almost 11 yards of rush or something? Yeah.
That's incredible, USC. Like, well done.
See, like, we all griped about the Oregon defense for very good reason this year. Like, it was not good. But the difference between the USC defense and the Oregon defense, which was not good, is I never looked at the Oregon defense and was like, well, that is a soft unit. Like, they're just all soft. They're bad.
Yep.
Some of them are slow, and maybe some, you know, whatever. SCs, you could just run every team. Because the difference between the two teams is Oregon would play Cal, Oregon would play Colorado. Oregon would win 44-10, 41-13. And then the next week, it would just kind of happen that way. Then the other team would play USC. Cal, you know, I mean, they put up like 27 points, which isn't whatever, but they put up like 500 yards on SC. And Colorado was shit, and they only put up 300. But there was a difference between those two defenses. Where Oregon's was bad, USC's was abominable. Like, it was atrocious. And like we said in September, once they stopped getting every fumble and every tip ball, where it was, you know, in September, they took the ball away 20 times, never sustainable. It showed. They were atrocious. Alex Grinch has coached at Washington State, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and USC. He has been good at one of those schools, and it's Washington State. And I'm even taking into account like adjusting for pace. You know, we're going back to some of the Chip Kelly things that we were taught, where you got to give some grace on that stuff. He's atrocious. If you can't win at Ohio State or, you know, be good, Ohio State, Oklahoma, USC in succession, why are you employed? Yeah. It's crazy.
Because it's not lack of athletes and size on defense, that's for sure.
No, and like none of us love Tosh Lupoi, but when Tosh Lupoi was at Alabama, yes, they were a little disappointing if they lost the national championship game. Like, there is a difference in some of these things.
Yeah, it's all relative. Booble says USC has the team makeup Oregon was accused of having for years. Flashy offense, soft defense. Yeah.
Pretty much. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
Yeah. You did bring up they gave up 300 yards of offense to Colorado. That's when they were struggling to get 100 yards of offense in a game.
Also very true. Yes. With the backup, like
they would have teen yards in first halves multiple times.
Yeah.
So then, staying with Big Ten schools in Los Angeles, UCLA also blew a lead against Pitt, lost 37-35, 16-7 outscored in the fourth quarter. DTR had an interesting game because if you watch the game, you'll remember, like, UCLA scored a touchdown. He got a penalty for talking shit, yelling in a guy's face after they scored. He is a historical shit talker, doesn't really care, and, you know, it's sort of his thing or whatever. Then later in the game, he gets injured, you know, flash forward, he gets injured, and when the team is going to lose, he realizes they're going to lose, and he doesn't get to play, he is crying on the sideline. And so, you know what? You feeling sad? You need to get your emotions out and cry? That's fine. For DTR in particular, the amount of shit that he talks and the, you know, just doesn't really give a shit about the situation or whatever, I think it was funny. When I saw that, I laughed at him because he is an asshole. And
is he
karma?
Is he college football's version of like Pat Beverly?
Yeah, I think you could say that. Every game I've seen DTR playing, he has something happen like that, where he gets in somebody's face, yells at him, you know, after his teammate makes a play, and he's like, come on, man, like, you don't need to do that. Like, you've been here like 7 years. Like, why are you acting like the true freshman right now? Like, you're supposed to be the leader on the team, like, whatever. So Booble says he's the Chris Paul of college football. I think Beverly's more appropriate, but yeah.
Paul's older now, but he's good.
Yeah, Beverly's not good. You know, fakes like he gets fouled all the time.
And he kicks people in the dick.
In the dick. Yeah. I have not seen DTR kick anybody in the dick. I haven't seen it. Doesn't mean that hasn't happened.
Wouldn't be opposed to seeing it, but I haven't seen it.
So, you know, both LA schools lose in horrific fashion to really bad teams. Like Pitt.
Oh, Pitt was.
Pitt is so bad.
Pitt, Tulane's fine. SC should beat Tulane. Pitt is terrible.
They're so bad.
Like, literally, I think Ski thought Keaton Slovis was still starting for them.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't. But I had to remember that Keaton Slovis was actually playing.
He was actually a Pitt Panther, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's off soaking in Utah. Right?
Provo.
Provo.
Yeah.
By the way, Letterkenny had their new season came out last week. They had like basically an entire episode about soaking, and it was very funny. So I highly recommend. It's on Hulu. The other Pac-12 game, Utah got their asses handed to them in the Rose Bowl by Penn State. You know, Cam FTX ended up, you know, getting hurt, blew out his knee in the game like that.
Again.
That sucks. Yeah, and it was the knee he had the brace on already. So he blew that one out, which is shitty. It's shitty.
That game was what, 7-7 when he went out?
Before, I think it was 14 or something.
Yeah, it was 14-14 at halftime. Before that, though, he was 8 of 21 for 95 yards.
He was awful. He was really terrible. He was really bad.
Yeah.
And I never do the conference, you know, I don't do the PAC, I think it's stupid. I had no real interest in watching this game. I just watched it somewhat because it's the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on. Who here thinks Utah was the second best team in the Pac-12? Even before that game, did you really think they were the second best team?
No. They got smashed by Florida.
By Florida.
I was like, yeah, this
Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, and Bo Nix on a broken ankle beat them. So.
And that's crazy. Like, that loss is such an indictment on Utah, where he literally catch ball, throw ball. If he couldn't throw it, catch ball, fall down.
Yeah, like, fall down.
Yep.
And then they won.
Fall down.
Yeah.
I was catching some old Rose Bowl, you know, Kajana Carter breakaway touchdowns. Didn't feel too good watching that.
Yeah, that's true.
Was that first play of the game? First offensive play for
first snap.
Yeah.
And they mentioned Kijana Carter against Oregon. Yep.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, super
good
super
times.
Fun. Super fun. Yeah, Rose Bowl good. Played in overcast, rainy skies, like the worst. The worst Rose Bowl. And didn't somebody say in our Discord earlier, like, this was the lowest watched Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Which, I mean, you know, January 2nd, because there's some other mitigating factors, but.
January 2nd, Utah, but, Penn State.
Yeah. No one. Penn State. Yeah. I hate to be the old grumpy guy bemoaning bowl matchups, but come on. Penn State and Utah, they were not Rose Bowl.
It sucks.
Teams. Which, well, okay, they got there, so good for them. But, and if I was a Penn State fan, I heard someone say that, I'd be mad, but. It is what it is.
They were absolutely by default Rose Bowl teams.
Absolutely.
1,000%. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then
the one thing I loved about the Rose Bowl is, so my big gripe now on Utah is every fucking game they do the grief porn thing. Oh, this guy's been dead for 2.5 years. Let's. ESPN was finally fucking sick of it. They were tired of it. They showed it for like 4 seconds and they were like, Yeah, this is what they do now. Like, move on.
They were just done with
the tribute. They did not care. They're like, we got to mention it because they're still fucking doing it. But he died before the insurrection. Like, we do, can we stop? Stop with this bullshit. Like,
was there a Spencer Webb one for the Holiday Bowl?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Because even like in Oregon home games this year.
I think
year,
they mentioned it. Like the sideline reporter told the story, I think, if I remember right.
I just.
Like even at home games this year, like they wove in like a little 20-second video of Spencer Webb. It's not. It's, which is, his death was tragic. He was too young. Totally get it. But Oregon's not going to be doing this next year. And they're not going to be doing it 2 years from now. The Lakers stopped doing Kobe Bryant stuff after that year ended. Please, Utah, for the love of God, this is emotional exploitation. Stop. Please stop. It's enough.
What he said.
It's enough.
It's been enough. Like for a while. All right, the playoff games were very good. So, you know, the end result might not be super duper great or enjoyable. Like Georgia and TCU, I don't really want to watch that game. But they
I think
were,
it's better than Michigan, Georgia.
Michigan. Fuck Michigan. They're so boring.
All right.
They're the Dana Altman of fucking football right now.
And what cracks me up about TCU Michigan is I was like, I don't really have any interest in watching this because of Michigan. So I just threw out this tweet like I'm going out for 2 hours to do X, Y, and Z, so of course I'm going to miss a 47-48 classic. And pretty much, I missed 3.5 quarters. And what did I miss? Yeah,
the best game ever.
We're like the over under was like 31, and yeah.
Dugan's just like a bigger version of Hanger out there.
He just chucks it, man.
Every play is just life on the line. He runs the ball. He is getting as many yards as humanly possible.
Yo, King Hainer drops. Let's go, Ski. Kalen DeBoer is super happy with this podcast right now. Nice work, Ski. So really classic game there. And then Georgia's 1-point win over Ohio State, too. Also, very
that game
very,
was great.
Very, very fun good game. Yeah,
I watched all of that one. That was on my radar.
All the shit talking about Stetson Bennett in the first half, like the guy's played a lot of games, a lot of big ones, and he wins them.
What do you guys say? So 12.5-point spread for the championship game. Too much? TCU's kind of scrappy, or is Georgia just?
I think TCU covers barely. Georgia's going to win, but
10, like lose by 10, maybe something like
so
that.
I feel like TCU is just going to be the team, because they've done it all year, where they're going to get 10 plus points out of just absolute bullshit. Like, oh my God, look at this stupid throw over the head for 40 yards. How did that work? I don't know. It just works every week somehow.
Yeah. Are we doing like a bonus line here?
Good. I was saying, if
I'm taking the over. I think Georgia
over.
Yeah, I think Georgia wins by like 17 or 21.
If Georgia gets up like 14-0, it might just be a rout. TCU's got to get like an early lead somehow. That's OJ. Yeah. So I would take
it all year. They do stupid shit all year. Somehow they always get a pick six. Somehow they always get an 88-yard play out of nowhere. It's we're 14 games in. We should probably stop doubting them at a certain point.
You guys cool with a TCU national championship?
I think it'd be funny if Sonny Dykes won a national championship.
Yeah, fails at Cal and wins a natty with TCU.
It's like fails at Cal, goes to Louisiana Tech because he's like, get me out of here. I cannot win here. Yeah. And then he goes to SMU, and he's okay.
They're okay there. They're okay.
Okay. And then he moves 9 miles west to TCU. How? How?
I don't know. I think everyone's pulling for TCU because this is the first true like underdog in the playoffs that people could get behind.
Well, Cincinnati. First. I mean, but yes, yeah. they were summarily dismissed very early in that semifinal. It was 14-0, and you're like, okay, good job, Desmond Ritter.
which is what I'm saying could happen here, and just be like, Dugan, you're done. You lose by 30.
I don't know. I think the Hornies are frisky, man. They're gonna do something stupid. The receivers, like if TCU wins this national championship, they are the worst in the. In the CFP era, like to do it by far, but their receivers are pretty. They got a couple of dudes that are like dudes.
They're fast.
Big. They're big. But yeah, Georgia's gonna win.
By the way, they just got like 3 transfers from Alabama too, like TCU did. So I don't think they're going away either. We'll see.
Well, Ducks. Got what, 2 or 3 from Alabama as well?
Four star receiver and a 3-star corner. By the way, thank you for bringing that up because Oregon did get another like signee this week for recruiting. They got Ashton Porter, who is a 4-star edge rusher from Texas. So somebody posted this. I just looked it up too, just to confirm. So the Ducks got signatures from 10 defensive linemen this offseason. And so they were fairly weak up front last year. I think we can say
that's very generous.
So have you guys heard the sack stat for the Ducks this year? I had not heard it until this week.
Ooh, let me guess.
Like the number of sacks they had?
The numbers of sacks they had, and when was the last time they had that few?
Okay, let's guess.
I'm going to say 6 sacks on the season.
Okay, that's 6. A little...
Yeah, well, that's
like 9?
Little light.
Yeah, I know. You know why? Because their defense is bad.
I mean, they did play 13 games, guys.
Yeah,
They did play Eastern Washington, Cal, and Arizona.
My answer remains 9. You're trying to like trick us out of it because we're right.
Yeah. No, you're not right.
I know your game, Trebek.
They had 18 sacks this year.
Jeez.
Which was their fewest since 1986. And in some of those years, they played 9 and 10 games.
And I don't know if the football team quite integrated by then also. There was a lot of white guys, very so white guys out there.
I think Romeo Bandison was a freshman on that team.
we don't know Rich Brooks' stance on.
Yeah, man.
Sean Burwell was running scout team on the defense that year.
Oh, that's
but yes, very 18 is a. There are only 5. This group of 5 and Power 5. So we're talking like 135 teams. They were like 129th out of 134 or whatever it was in sacks.
Yeah.
Very bad. Very bad.
Very, very bad.
So
I mean, I'm pretty sure we complained about that every week, though. So it's.
But they addressed it this offseason, which is good.
Yeah, well, maybe a little
overkill there.
No.
No.
Maybe mix some linebackers in there, too.
Bring them all in. Get rid of everybody else who's still there.
Is Dorless gone?
No, I think he's surprising everyone by coming back.
Is he going to play now? Is that the question?
Yes, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know.
Did he play last year?
He did. He did.
Old Maddie, old Maddie Ooey out there might just come in and swoop his job instantly.
No, I think that South Carolina transfer, Birch.
Oh, that, or that guy, too.
Yeah. That guy's going to steal old Maddie Ooey's spot.
Ooh.
So I don't know anything about this Birch guy other than he was a former five-star guy, whatever. I just collected some Oregon fans. Like, I like his motor. And I'm like, did you watch Oregon's defensive line last year? Like, anybody, I don't care if they're from South Carolina. Like, just give me a five-star rando. I will take the odds on that being okay.
Yeah. Don't give me the converted tight end that's pulling a wheelbarrow when he's trying to cut the edge in yeah. the quarterback.
A V6 isn't a V8, but it's still better than a V4. I think that's a car thing, right?
Yeah, that was car things.
That was a pretty good car thing. So one
it's got a Hemi in it, though, is the question.
Well, the Hemi's Maddie Ooey.
Got a Hemi?
Yeah,
it's the Hemi. Got a Hemi.
So you got the 1 5-star, 5 4-stars, and 4 3-stars. And then the transfer, apparently. So V4 isn't a car thing. I don't know, man. Shut up, WCP.
V8?
I know what a V8 is. That's a vegetable juice.
That is definitely a tomato juice. A little bit of celery, some radishes.
Yeah, mix it all up, put it in.
I do love the era where V8 was like, hey, our fruit's great. Look, we threw a carrot in it. Have fun, kids. You don't want this.
All V8 did was lead to people making their own drinks.
What was so funny about that era is like V8 went from being like a 6-ounce, like little tiny can. And then they were like, we threw cilantro and carrots in it, kids. Here's 18 ounces. And no one wanted that. I did not want that.
There's a jug of V8.
No one wants that.
Nobody.
It was like a 5-hour energy. Just give me this quick shot where I'm getting some veggies in me.
That's what it was.
All good.
Like, do people even make Bloody Marys out of V8?
No, they have Bloody Mary mix.
I don't think I've seen a V8 in the wild in at least 10 years.
You know, crazy. I have because my mom buys them.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, well, my mom.
Buy some of that.
Yeah, my mom was very.
Popping that tomato juice is what you want.
I'm not trying to say my mom's old, but my mom is older than us, and so she is the she's the market for V8s.
A demographic for it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do keeper kick.
I got a couple of them.
Okay, what you got?
Yep. All right. First one. I brought it up because yet again, more USC fans were crying about Oregon, like paying people from the portal. Anyone the Ducks gets, like, oh, you paid them all that. So
yes, no, yes. Oregon did pay them. That's what you're supposed to do, you idiots.
So very broad here. Keep or kick the transfer portal.
Big, huge piles of keep. Yes, please.
Ducks in trouble without the transfer portal. Yeah?
Big trouble. Yes. That's how they got Bo Nix, bro. The Bo Agenda doesn't exist without this transfer portal. That dude's sitting out a year. Like, fuck that.
I thought you said the Bo Agenda was over, Braga.
I don't know what you're talking about. We have no proof. We have no proof.
I think we'll call that.
We have no proof of that. Booble says keep and expand it.
Expand the portal.
Yeah, I like that. And let's make those roster sizes bigger too.
There's no way they could do it. Could they ever get to trades in college?
No. No. Because they'd have to make them employees, so no.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at though.
That's be a lot cooler. We can just talk shit about someone getting traded because they suck.
So then we need to start talking about like trading for head coaches too, like the John Gruden stuff. Like there, now we're talking. What's it gonna take to get Saban here, Alabama? What's it gonna take? We'll throw the Hatfield Dowlin complex. You can have that. We'll just like put it on a couple trucks and ship it over. You can have it. And then I'll give you Maddie Ooey, maybe Bo Nix for a year. You're about to lose your quarterback. I'm just saying.
All right. Next one. After Monday night, do you keep or kick Goodell?
I mean, I think he sucks, but I think everyone who runs that league is going to suck. So I don't know.
there's no winners ever.
No, he's making $60 million a year to be a meat shield for billionaires. Like, there's no one good. There's no one good there.
Yeah, it's an impossible job to be good at, I think.
Yeah.
Kick Goodell, but not for Monday. like
just in general?
Yeah,
general
like
kick?
In general, kick Goodell. But it's like when you fire your head coach. Like, who are you going to replace him with? Like, so I don't know. Like, whoever replaces Goodell is going to suck, too, so.
I guess we found this out on a smaller level for Pac-12 commissioner, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just.
God, somehow he found a way to be worse than Larry Scott. It's amazing. God. And in such a little time, right, too.
All right. Next one. At the basketball game, saw a little, headliner for it. Pick or keep the professional bull riding coming to Matt Unite Arena.
Keep.
Big keep.
Right? Love a good old firecracking rodeo.
I really want to go.
Yeah, you need to buy us season tickets to that shit, Ski. Let's go.
Shit, if that tickets are more than $10, I'd be shocked.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, man. Those buckle bunnies will put out money for that stuff.
Yeah, dude. You're paying money for that. Wow. Booble says kick. Says he's pro bull. He doesn't like the treatment of the bulls. I see.
Oh, well, that's part of you want the bull to win.
Yeah, yes, no, that's why you go. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to see someone on there for 8 seconds or whatever.
Exactly.
But, I'm pro Daisy Dukes in Copenhagen, so it sounds right up my alley there.
Got a new follow. Thank you, Fighter Jeff and the Lively Pod, for the follows.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
All right. Next one. This one's kind of like work this in here. I found out NHL. So they have a salary cap, right? But they also have a salary min that you have to hit. I think the cap's like $85 million and the min is $60 million. So keep or kick the MLB changing their rules to force teams to spend money with a minimum salary cap.
Oh, keep.
Oh, boy.
No. These teams are getting so much money from the Yanks and the Red Sox, and the Dodgers and the Mets. The A's and the Royals, get out of here spending $32 million.
Yeah.
You're making so much money.
Yes.
And I know what I sound like. I sound like Matthew Gaetz here being like, you're taking handouts. But it's ridiculous. The Royals were owned by Walmart for a very long time. And the guy never wanted to spend money. Yes, they need a floor in MLB. There's so much money in MLB. Give them a fucking floor.
I'm begging for a floor as an A's fan. Begging for a floor. Although, if MLB instituted a floor, the team would be... I mean, it would move things
along
with the sale of the team, too. They would not be in Oakland anymore. That's for damn sure. But that said, fucking A. Yes, force these teams to spend money. Because they don't care. They're living off the other teams and like this equality money thing that baseball has for some reason that are keeping these franchises alive. I almost get the sense that they don't want to stay afloat. Like, do you get the sense with some of these teams that they don't even give a shit? They're like, we're
100%. Well, 100%.
Like, why do the business then if you don't want to?
Because you make so much money just off regional sports networks.
Yes.
You can make more money if you're successful, right? Maybe they do math and you don't.
A little. I mean, not
a little more, yeah.
A little more, no. But yeah.
Or you can just hit the big when, Kings, Royals, when they won the World Series and like those Marlins teams, you spend no money.
Zero money.
They're pushing all, they're trying to win the massive pots by spending no money and win it all with the World Series.
Yeah, yeah. Lively Pod says the Pirates don't spend shit.
I think they are the lowest. Is actually the Pirates. They're lower in your A's.
And you know how I know the Pirates don't spend shit? Because I have not heard about the Pirates for like a decade.
Pirate player right now. Go name a Pirate player.
Cannot name one Pirate player. I have not heard anybody talk about the Pirates in forever.
The Pirates owner, Richard Nutting, is the 10th richest owner in MLB.
Amazing.
Just putting it out there. He is a billionaire.
Amazing.
Do not cry poverty for the Pittsburgh Pirates owner.
Amazing. So he's an asshole.
He's an asshole.
I haven't heard that song.
I can't even remember. Is that like, please don't tell me that's like Andrew Dice Clay or
Dennis
something.
Leary.
No, it's
Dennis Leary. Leary. Okay, that's acceptable. Okay.
Yeah, Dennis Leary's stand-up.
I knew it was dated, but.
Yeah, speaking of 80s and 90s, Dennis Leary's stand-up where he's like smoking a cigarette, like smoking 8 cigarettes during his set and just like yelling into the microphone, talking really fast.
It was like Dennis Leary and Dennis Hopper doing their Nike commercials. Bad things, man.
Wow.
Bad things, man.
Wow.
I mean, bad. Let me tell you about Bruce Smith, man.
Wow. The throwbacks on this episode, guys.
Right. All right. Last one. Keep or kick Kevin McCarthy keeping this shit show going for the Speaker of the House. So at this point, I mean,
keep it.
I want to see how long it can go, honestly. I want to see you get to 20, if that.
Like,
not where everyone else is at, just seeing how long it could go.
I kind of paid attention to it today, and at the end of the day, what cracked me up was when Lauren Boebert was like, I'm picking, I can't even remember, I'm going to get this wrong. I'm picking Donald. And I was like, Donald Trump? No. And she's like, no, Donald Peterson from South Dakota. I was like,
Yeah. What the fuck is this guy?
From what state? That's a state in the union? Just what a shit show. Just what a grand show that was.
Just gotta keep it going for just the memes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many. The last one I saw was Russell Wilson's number of bathrooms, and it has a chart where his is at 12, and it's just like going up by one, and it finally tied it. It's just fucking perfect.
It's so good. Yeah, Booble says Gates submitted Trump as the speaker. Literally said his name. I'm picturing AOC just in the hallway going, "Run it back, boys! Run it back! Keep it up!" Oh, it's so good.
Our politics are so bad, man. What are we doing, America? What's going on?
Oh boy. Okay, so does that transition into our list perfectly?
Yeah, that's why I picked it. Yeah.
I tell you what, Ski. I tell you what, man.
I know.
Professional.
Come with a plan every now and then here.
Professional. So our list, ladies and gentlemen, is that was also your idea, right, Ski?
It was.
Man.
Funny thing was.
Yeah. Oh. I was going to say, so this podcast this week.
Yes. So our list is top three things, but when I sent it to you guys, it was top three things you would do 10 times or more knowing you're not going to succeed. And that was before he failed 2 more times. So I guess it's 12 things you do 12 times in a row knowing you're not going to succeed at doing it.
Knowing you have no shot of this thing working out for you, but you just do it anyways. It's worth it just in case after like time 40 or 50, it works out for you. Okay, you start. It's your list.
Well, I'm going to start. All right. My number three is you're on a golf course. Let's say you're up way up high on top of a hill. I'd putt that putt. I have no chance of making it a dozen times. Just because that's the one thing you can do there. It ain't going in, but I'm going to keep putting it.
So like the 80-foot Tiger Woods putt that you have no chance of making?
You got to put it sideways up the hill so it could careen down the hill to go in. It ain't going in.
Oh, if it happens, though, it's legendary. You just like you have your buddy like videotape it every single time. Just have the video running, and then, you know, when you eventually make it after try like 90, you edit it down and post that shit on your socials, and you're the coolest guy on the internet. That's how the internet works, right?
It's exactly how it works.
Booble says have sex.
That was Booble. That's my number one is make a woman orgasm. It's a bit, fellas. It's a bit. Because you keep doing it, you can do it as many times as you want, forever.
I mean, it's a myth. So
it's a myth. It's a myth.
You can try as many times as you want. It's never going to happen. I am fucking defeated, man. That's great.
You guys got anything here?
Skydiving.
Skydiving?
So you do it a whole bunch of times. Hopefully it'll succeed eventually.
We're talking about bits here, guys. Keep it moving. Keep
yeah,
it
moving. Come on.
Okay. Those halftime, like basketball shot things. That's what I want to do. So there's no way I would ever succeed at it. I can make a layup. I can make a free throw. I can make a three pointer. I could probably make a half court shot. But again, it would take like 80 times to attempt it. But you get that big check in the end. Yo, I wouldn't even cash it. I'd use it as like my wallpaper.
I've seen some pretty unathletic looking people make that shot though.
No, but I'm saying the thing where like you make the free throw or you make the layup, you make the free throw, you make the three pointer, then you make the half court shot.
Then half court.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't think I've ever seen anybody actually do that.
It's tough.
That's it.
I mean, shit, duck basketball shoots like 40% from the line. You instantly lose it right there.
Yeah. You think I'm better than duck basketball? I might be. I don't know.
Possibly. Do you guys shoot better free throws than duck basketball right now? Do you go out there and hit with 50? I would say 50%.
Yeah. What's the team average for Oregon? Is it 50%?
50%.
I could make more than 50%. Yeah.
I think they were 1 of 14 from three tonight. Can you go hit 1 3 out of 14? Yes.
Maybe not. Maybe not with a Colorado Buffalo guarding me. But you leave me unguarded, I'll knock.
They were pretty open.
I'll knock down 25%.
They're pretty open shots. Duck shoots 66% from the free throw line.
Booble says his number two is topping your joke ski.
I'm pretty sure I topped his.
You can try. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I got Boob on that one, that's for sure. All right, my number two.
You're the top in that?
Yeah. Booble's definitely the power bottom there. I'd be the top.
No shame.
All right. My number two. Baby. Yeah, right. My number two, doing a kickflip on a skateboard. I've never done one.
Yeah, mine was.
I could do it forever.
My number two is skateboard related as well. It was an ollie. I'd like to do an ollie. I'm 40 now. If I were able to pull off an ollie, I'd be cool as shit, you guys.
Do you pull off an ollie before you fall and break your hip?
No.
What comes first? No.
No. Definitely injure myself first. I don't even know if it would be a hip. I would be that guy with like the helmet on and the elbow guards and all that shit. Because otherwise, I'm getting a concussion.
The wrist guards.
Yeah.
Got to be able to brace
the knee pads, like all that shit. Because what is definitely going to happen is I'm going to kick it up and I'm going to fall backwards on my ass and land on the back of my head. So nobody needs that.
My number two. Rocky Mountain climbing.
Be fun.
King's got extreme sporting here.
Yeah. Either you rock climb before, ever? Not even in like one of those gyms?
What's the place here right by the highway?
Crux or whatever?
Whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah. That little, yeah.
Is that what it's called? It's Crux.
Crux is the indoor place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
I don't know what the outdoor.
Oh, you mean the outdoor one? Yeah, yeah. The wall,
the actual wall mountain, the mountain that's right there.
God, I used to live down there.
Right by the bridge.
I used to live down there. I've never been to that. Like, no, rock climbing's not in my fucking wheelhouse whatsoever.
But I did my number one, so I'm out.
Okay. My number one is shooting a different kind of shot. Just. Shooting your shot at a celebrity, you know what I mean? It's like you shoot enough shots. Eventually, it's math. You know, you shoot enough shots, you're gonna make one. So, I ain't making one. No. I send a DM to Alyssa Milano like 90 times. One of those times, it's gonna work out for me, right? That's how it works, right? By the way, speaking of 80s and 90s references, Alyssa Milano.
Who's the boss?
Yes.
Hey, Tony.
All right, my number one, 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu.
What is that stupid song?
See, if we kept this going, Mike, you guys killed the bit by going 2.5 minutes in between every. This was if this was rapid fire, the joke would have hit. All I'm right, not
rapid,
explaining.
Rapid fire year three.
Yeah, we should. That's what we should have let you just get pound all 3 years in a row. Just
me? I apologize. Yeah. Yes, please.
Oh, skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And if I could go a little more, I would love deeper and speak sweeter and give forgiveness to those which I was denying. Someday I hope you get to live the chance to live like you are dying.
Those are all honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I don't know what that's referencing. Yeah. I've no.
It's a song.
It's a very famous song.
Okay.
You definitely lose steam when you do have breaks in between it.
Come on, man. I even said I'm doing a bit here. I'm doing a bit.
Is it Taylor Swift? Because if it's not Taylor Swift, I don't give a damn.
Who is it? Oh, it's Tim McGraw.
Ooh. It's a famous person.
It definitely is.
Booble says buying Powerball tickets. Yeah.
I've never done it.
Yeah, me neither.
I should.
I think one's
up to damn near $1 billion again right now.
When is it not?
I don't remember it. Do you guys ever remember in outside the last like 2 years it ever being like up to $1 billion? I thought we were supposed to be in a recession all of a sudden.
Biden's
$1 billion every 6 months. Yeah. Biden's America, it's $1 billion jackpot, baby.
Sleepy Joe's America, am I right?
Just handing out that free money. Also taking 60% of it on the other end, but yeah.
Yeah, you definitely don't get all that money.
No.
Okay, anything else before we wrap it up? It's been a long podcast, boys.
Yeah.
Okay, well, everybody out there, thank you for watching and listening. We will see you on Sunday when we're talking about Willow. So
you idiot.
Willow.
The female orgasm isn't real. You idiot.
Dave Magadan.
The clitoris, Willow. The clitoris.
Okay, bye.
All right.